Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we will be here until 11 o'clock, and we are lucky enough to have on the line right now our energy expert, Peter Kelly Detweiler. Hey, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Good to have you on here. Peter, right on his LinkedIn, he makes energy understandable. That's one of the reasons I was so excited.
He does that very well.
Yeah. So
thank you.
We're happy to have you. We missed you last weekend. We were worried about you, but we got you here this morning. So that we're all happy about. The audience was like, "Where's Peter?" But we're happy to have you. So energy and data centers. So when we had you on before, you were talking about I wanted to find out if you could explain energy to us and how a data center might increase our costs, because here in Connecticut, there's some in the legislature that want to make us some sort of mecca of data centers, which to me is lunacy considering our electric costs and how it probably will increase our prices. And then we discussed how data centers and IT, big tech in general, is considering just building their own power. Like SMRs are becoming a thing, and having natural gas generation right there on site is becoming a thing. So why don't we start with how a data center might build their own nuclear power, Peter?
Yeah, sure. So what's going on is there's this tremendous future demand, and it could be 10% of, you know, current U.S. demand by 2030. It could be 15%. Nobody really knows quite what the number is going to be, but we see announcements almost every single day of some new 1,000 megawatt, you know, gigascale computer. And to put that in perspective, the Millstone plant in Connecticut, the nuclear unit, that's like 1,000 megawatts. And New England usually peaks out at, say, 20, 25,000 megawatts at its peak demand for the year. So A single 1,000 megawatts matters. Now, with these nuclear plants, what's going on is, or I should say with the data centers that want to supply their own power, Their challenge for them is they can't connect to the grid fast enough because the utilities, well, they haven't seen any demand growth for two decades. And they move pretty slowly because they're risk averse. And if you think about it, you want to build a new transmission line, good luck. Takes you 10 years to get it permitted and then another 3 to 5 years to get it built.
Just the line.
And new generation, same sort of thing.
Oh, boy.
So a lot of data centers are saying, look, the value of the next kilowatt hour to us is huge because they kind of do the Rumpelstiltskin thing, and instead of spinning straw into gold, they spin electrons into valuable data, which they turn into information.
Right.
So what they're doing is saying, look, if we can't connect to the power lines, then what we'll do is we'll build our own generation.
Yeah.
And so many of them are doing just that. Some are buying fuel cells from companies like Bloom Energy. Full disclosure, I do own a little bit of stock in them. Mm-hmm. In fact, GE just announced in their most recent earnings call that by 2030, the orders that they have on the books right now, a third of the orders are not from utilities or from jet engine, from airlines. They are from data center companies that want to connect to gas pipelines and hook those up to generators and supply the data centers directly.
30%.
One challenge. Mm-hmm. Now, one challenge with that is, yep. But think about it, though.
Yeah.
So you got this data center, and now you hook up the gas and you put a generator there. Well, no gas generator runs 100% of the time forever. They need to go down for maintenance after X number of hours.
Right.
So what then? You've spent this multi-billion-dollar investment in these data centers, and now your plant's out for maintenance. So what's really happening a lot of times is what they call bridging strategies. The data center companies want access to the power right now, but they know that they're going to need some kind of backup. So what the strategy now that's emerging is many of them are saying, oh, we'll hook up directly to these generating assets, but we want to be connected to the grid eventually because we'll use the grid as our backup.
Right.
Now, what that means from a power planning perspective is the grid needs to still have all the available capacity, the power plants and the infrastructure to serve those data centers at their sort of so-called convenience.
Yeah.
So then the question is, who bears all those costs?
Well, my contention would be the data centers, right? You want to do all this, and supposedly all your AI in your data center has such value that as far as the regulatory agencies, they should be having them pay the premium, not the rate payers. It's always the rate payers that get hooked for this stuff.
Correct.
And whether it's a bank failure, it's the rate, the taxpayers, whether it's whatever it is, it has to be those who want to risk it should be risking it, not the rest of us. Mm-hmm. We should benefit from it.
I would agree. If they drive the marginal costs on the demand side, they should pay for it. Now, but here are some data points that are suggesting that's not yet the case. There are some efforts being made to inoculate the rate payers from this. And perhaps the best one so far is Evergy, which is a utility out in Kansas City, Missouri, I think, if my memory serves. Mm-hmm. And they have a contract that says, okay, data centers, you want to connect to us, to the utility, you have to sign a 15-year contract, 17-year contract, which obligates you to specify the quantities of power you want and pay for it irrespective of whether you ever take it.
I agree. That makes good sense.
Now, what's happening for the most part, though, let's turn our attention to our neighbors to the south, the Mid-Atlantic Power Pool, PJM. What they do there is they have an auction, kind of like we do in New England. Mm-hmm. They have an auction for the ability to supply power 3 years in the future, typically. But this auction was put off and put off and put off. So basically this year they had the auction for 2026, 2027 delivery year starting next May.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last two auctions, they've spent more than $32 billion for steel in the ground, for the ability to generate power.
Yep.
You with me so far?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the Independent Market Monitor, who looks at the markets, it's a third-party economics firm that reports to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They said if you were to strip out the existing data centers, of which there aren't that many because not that many have been built, and the ones that are in the forecast for PJM, for the Mid-Atlantic Power Pool, those costs would drop by $16 billion, about half. So
wait
what
a minute.
They're saying is –
serious?
Yeah. Yep. So what they're basically saying is all these other consumers – are paying over 2 years $16 billion of costs that, in many cases, those data center forecasts won't even materialize by 2026, 2027, because it takes a long time to build these things.
Yeah.
So here's the – and I've done the numbers on this. These costs for capacity, they represent more than 25% of the total wholesale bill.
For everybody? For every rate payer?
Everybody, for every rate payer, not the delivery charges, not the wires and poles that bring the power to us, but the energy and the capacity part, the competitive power market part.
Yeah.
So, for anybody who's saying, oh, let's bring data centers into our markets, Well, the answer is not so fast, unless you are sure you can create a regulatory structure that protects everybody else. And even if we go back to that issue with Evergy,
yeah.
So you have a 17-year contract. Well, let's assume the world changes a lot in 17 years. Maybe the chips get more efficient.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Maybe there's not that much need. Well, the assets you're building, the wires and the poles and the power plants to serve those things, they last a minimum of 30 to 40 years.
Yep.
So there's a risk still 17 years from now of what's called stranded assets, where all these customers are paying for these supply assets and wires and poles that don't have a home, that don't have demand for them in the future. So it's a pretty significant risk from the utility's perspective, even a decade and a half out, in a world that's really, really uncertain right now.
Sure. So that will, but if they have at least made the data centers pay that 17-year coverage, the rest of us don't have to deal with it. I frankly don't care about the risk to the utilities. If they're going to get paid, they win. If we've got a bunch of lines out there that nobody uses, that's fine. Having more infrastructure and more capacity is, I don't know, you don't have to be the sharpest tack in the drawer. It's obvious that risk is low as far as versus not having the infrastructure, Peter. We've always had an issue of lack of infrastructure. You look at Massachusetts, the governor up there was talking about how she stopped two natural gas pipelines. I've seen videos of her talking about how I would stop two gas pipelines. We need natural gas to come and power our homes and heat our homes. So when that kind of leadership is doing these weird things, the idea that you're going to pay 17 years for all of it up front makes good sense to me. And it keeps us protected as ratepayers. We are not going to be we shouldn't be on the hook for this, period.
Right. So let's take a look at that gas pipeline issue for one moment, though.
Well, before you do, Peter, can we take a quick break? Because we have to take a quick break. Sure. We'll get back and talk about that issue. That'd be great.
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with Peter Kelly Detweiler. He helps you understand electricity, makes it more simple and understandable. That's his job. And we're looking forward to chatting with him more, but I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
And we are back, and Peter Kelly Detweiler is with us, and we're talking energy, data centers, because Dennis and I have no idea. We're just geeks. We're just a couple of humble geeks, pasty white computer geeks sitting here trying to figure out how we're going to keep our computers warm and running, and Peter's going to explain the energy for us. He helps you understand energy. Well, we have links to his sites and his LinkedIn if you want to follow him. He's got these great things. He puts out these videos on a regular basis, making this understandable, and we really need to understand it to hold our politicians accountable for the decisions they make. And speaking of that, we were going to a break. We were talking a little bit about the pipelines that were kind of stopped in Massachusetts by the governor, and Peter wanted to talk about that. So what do you got there, Peter, on that?
So one of the challenges of the economics of gas pipelines is this. So if you think about it today, we definitely have some periods during which we could use more gas, especially in the winter. There are could be a half a dozen days when it's really, really cold, where we don't have enough gas capacity in the pipelines, and we have to choose between heating our homes and running our power plants. So typically then the power plants may switch over to oil, where we often store millions of gallons of oil in dual fuel generators for those cold days. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's think about, okay, so we bring another pipeline in, right?
Yep.
By definition, given today's demand, there are not that many days. It's not like you would fill up the pipeline with demand 24/7 immediately, probably not for quite some time. So you'd be adding all this additional capacity that would be very lightly used except for the periods when you really need it. And so what that would mean is you're paying for all this additional infrastructure, but if you look at the entire infrastructure, you would lower the capacity utilization factor of the whole thing because you just added more of it, and it's not like you're loading it up fully right away.
Well, what about
So that could increase the delivery cost to everybody.
Yeah. But what about – so I understand you can sell energy from anywhere. I used to be buying my energy from Texas, right? I can choose where I want it. So why can't – if we build the capacity, if you build it, they will come. Why can't you then offer energy to the data center areas – of the world that don't have it, right? So you sell your energy on the grid to them. I mean, why is that not a thing?
Okay, because you can't actually buy energy from Texas. And the reason why you can't is there's limited transmission capability. If we had unlimited wires and poles in the country, then we could buy electricity from anywhere and we'd have line losses. Like, for example, if you take power from the 10,000 megawatt facility up in Great Bay in northern Quebec, and you bring it down through Quebec and then drive it into New England and then drop it down to the distribution lines, you lose about 8% of the total energy in it.
All right.
But the real challenge is we have limited transmission across the country. So between New York and New England, there's only some interties right there. Between Quebec and New England, there's only some interties, and that's how it kind of works. So oftentimes what happens, Eric, is let's say you have 1,000 megawatts of demand in a city.
Yep.
And you can access, because you have enough transmission, you can access 500 megawatts of power at, say, $20 a megawatt hour, but you only have 500 megawatts of transmission capacity. So now you have to go and reach out to other more expensive generation someplace else where you can get the transmission to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's $30 a megawatt hour.
Yep.
So the difference, that $10 a megawatt hour, that's referred to as congestion. And this country pays billions of dollars every year in congestion costs because of limited transmission capability. And that's the real problem. It's not, I mean, gas pipelines, yes, but the real challenge in this country right now and why the data centers can't get the energy they want and why we're seeing higher prices is we don't have enough wires and poles. And the reason we don't have enough wires and poles is because they cross state lines. Mm. And so let's say you want to bring power from, state A across B and C to D.
Yep.
And if B and C don't get any power, they do the Heisman. They say, not across my backyard, you don't.
They do the Heisman.
Right?
That's a great way to look at it, yes.
And so the feds now are working to permit that. But I'll give you one example. There was a pipeline in New Mexico to Arizona called the SunZia Line. 3,000 megawatts of wind was to be delivered.
Yeah.
It took 17 years, 10 federal agencies, 5 state agencies, and a number of local agencies all involved in the permitting process.
Wow, we suck.
So this is,
that's awful.
Is what has to get
unstuck. That's awful. Yeah. That's bureaucratic baloney. Here in Connecticut, I remember this in the early 2000s. I brought it up last show. There was a connected line that they wanted to go from Connecticut. It was called a Cross Sound something over to New York.
Yep.
And our attorney general at the time, now Senator Blumenthal, fought against having just a line to connect from Connecticut to New York because of seafloor shell bed issues is what he was using. But there's a great example. 20 years ago, we were trying to put a line just – We couldn't get our attorney general on board. Now we've got windmills in the ocean with lines up the wazoo. Why? What happened to the seafloor? I guess that wasn't an issue. What kind of baloney is going on here, Peter? Where you've got attorneys general blocking this type of connectivity that 20 years ago was something they were trying to do, and we still don't have it now. It just seems like we're doing it to ourselves, man.
We do. We are. But I mean, here's another example. There was a line that's meant to bring electricity from Iowa to Illinois.
Yeah.
And it was all approved, and the federal loan was lined up, and even Missouri was going to get some power in it. Then Josh Hawley steps in, the senator, and says, nope, this isn't happening.
Then
the loan got revoked. So here's the challenge in a democratic society.
Yeah.
Like in China, you basically could just move everybody out of the way and put the line through, like they're doing with the new hydro dam.
Yeah.
In this country, everybody has some rights. Which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. We agree.
But Eric, you or I want to be the farmer that all of a sudden says, hey, too bad your family's farmed on this land for 200 years. We're invoking eminent domain, and we're going to put a pipeline through your property or transmission lines across your land. Right. Ultimately, we have to do that as a society if we want to power our society. But it means some people will lose for the greater benefit of everyone else. And then the question is, how do we fairly compensate them? And that, of course, becomes a very thorny issue.
Well, I agree with you. So eminent domain was a big issue here in Connecticut. We did some stuff in Groton that didn't even come to fruition. But you're right.
Yeah.
So we were just talking about this, Dennis and I, off air. The railroads, right? You and I as ratepayers didn't do anything for those railroads, and somehow they figured out how to get a railroad across the country. Same thing with AT&T and the Telegraph. We have to work together and figure this out. And it can't take 17 years of permitting and bureaucrats to get from point A to point B. It should be understood. Some basics should be understood. So do you have time to stick around with us, Peter? I love talking about this topic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to step out for a break for news. So go ahead, Peter, get a cup of coffee, 5 minutes of news and spots, and then we'll be back at around 10:35. We'll talk more energy with Peter Kelly Detweiler. He's the guy who can explain it to you and help you understand what's going on. So at least when you talk to a politician, you can say, hey, can you do it faster than 17 years? Everything we've talked about has been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And we'll be right back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, DSW. birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
All right. We are back. You gotta love this AI generated music. And we're on with Peter Kelly Detweiler. So Peter, we're using data center energy here to produce these two to play these tunes. We're talking to our energy expert, and as far as what's going on with how these data centers are going to exist, you talked a little bit about these data centers don't have access to the infrastructure. And the 17-year idea where they're going to prepay for it, build the infrastructure, because they can't, you know, we can't have it put on us. In Mexico, there's a huge area of data centers that are just using literally natural gas generation that's in generators that are just sitting there powering these big data centers. And that's another way to deal with the lack of infrastructure, right?
Yes, it is. One challenge, though, is if you want a gas-fired generator now, good luck. They're typically GE, for example, Siemens, Mitsubishi. They're the big three that make them.
Yep.
They're typically taking orders now for the 2029-2030 period. One Kentucky utility just had to put down a deposit of $25 million just to pay to play.
Wow.
The turbine costs have tripled in the last, say, 3 or 4 years because, you know, steel's more expensive, but we're in an inflationary environment. Yeah. That's the other thing is, you know, because of all this data center demand, we already saw an inflationary environment after COVID, but the cost of transformers, of transmission grade steel in transformers, in power lines for copper, everything's going up. And so we're just seeing the cost of everything associated with moving an electron get more expensive. And we're also seeing delays of years for transformers and many, many years now for new turbines. So it's not a problem that gets solved overnight.
Right. BlackRock is also investing heavily in energy and data centers, I've seen. It's been something in the news quite a lot. And so if we truly have an AI if we may have an AI bubble, which I suspect we do and others do as well. Again, there's always a contrarian that says, oh, no, we're going to crank it through. Let's say the AI bubble pops. What do you think is going to happen with energy then? Just assuming this is not what this is a .com thing all over again. I don't think it'll be as big as the .com bubble bursting, but I do think it might be a lot of over exuberance, a lot of money being thrown in the wrong directions. What might happen to energy if this AI bubble pops?
Well, the first thing that would happen to energy if the AI bubble popped is you'd have fewer data centers. But then if you think about the gains on the S&P and how almost all of that is being driven by NVIDIA and the magnificent, seven?
Yeah, seven stocks.
I would actually disagree with your thesis. I think if the bubble pops, this makes 08, 09 look like a picnic.
Oh.
Because.
A bigger bit. Okay. All right.
Oh, because they're all invested in each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and so there's so much circular investment right now that if a piece of the chain breaks, I mean, it kind of reminds me of back in the Enron debacle when Enron failed. I was in the energy business, and what happened was Company A was buying power from Company B that had bought it from Company C, D, E, and F. It was the same 200 megawatts that was just sold on and on and on.
Yep.
And once the chain broke, it broke. And so, you know, if at some point people go, wait a minute, we're spending $500 billion plus this year in data centers. And that means pretty soon we're going to have to create $500 billion worth of value every year. And if we don't see that and people start to, you know, get spooked by this because it's definitely an exuberant stage right now, then you could see, like I saw some analyst the other day said Sam Altman could be responsible for the biggest economic growth in the history of the world, or he could stone age the economy for a decade. And we don't really know, but the stakes are really high right now.
See, I hate those extremes. That would be like Sam Altman was responsible for just a moderate improvement or a moderate decrease. It's always stone age, or it's always big swings.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But what we're seeing in terms of the levels of investment driving the economy, and if you took it away, how tepid our economic growth would be, and the impacts on the power grid. I mean, I think you could see a situation like we saw after 08, 09, where demand actually declined and went negative for a little while on the power grid, where there'd be plenty of supply available for everybody because you see this big economic slowdown. I mean, this is a huge economic gamble, and it may pay off handsomely, or we may go, oh, once again, we invested in sock puppets trying to sell us pet food, and it didn't really pay off the way we thought it was going to. Now,
yes, that is a good example, Peter.
Now, and you know, and I always say to people, like, at the end of the day, only some of these companies will survive.
Right.
And if you don't believe me, ask Jeeves.
Yes. Yes. That's a good one too. Yeah. I was invested in a few, things. You know, I heard broadband was going to be a thing, and I can't remember even the company I invested in, but they didn't make it, but broadband is a thing. So you're right. So you're worried that this could be a bigger issue if the AI bubble pops. So you've got all these states that are investing in data centers. They're trying to get these companies to come to their states. Again, Connecticut, it just cracks me up that we're trying to do it here. We've got Bloomfield's trying to come up with some sort of data center deal. You're looking at energy, these generators that are going to be running, but you're saying you can't even get them. That noise involved with all that and just the other aspects of data centers, not only the power, there's lots of negativity. Again, I'm a geek. I love the idea of data centers as long as I'm not going to be harmed by them financially.
Right. Right. Now I think your long-term thesis, look, are we becoming homo digitus? Well, absolutely. Is our evolution that we're tying electrons increasingly as the best fuel to compute capability, which will drive our economies? Absolutely. The question is, are we doing this like way too fast and throwing too much stupid money at it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, ultimately, the same way Google became the search engine and the web triumphed and everyone uses it, yes, that's ordained. It's just a question of how much pain there is along that road, you know? So, and at the end of the day, with all the data center announcements out there, we know we're seeing all kinds of phantom load. There are estimates that 1 in 3 or even 1 in 10 of what's announced will eventually get built. And why is because it's the same thing that happened on the supply side. You have a developer that has, say, let's say, only $1 billion to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they can't connect to the wires and poles really quickly anywhere. So what they do is they put two projects in Pennsylvania, one in Texas, one in California, and two in Utah. And if one of them moves through faster than the other one, they pull all the other chips off the board. Same thing's happening with data centers, guaranteed right now, because speed to power is the thing that's driving everything. So there are developers that are putting multiple interconnection applications everywhere in hopes that one or two here will move faster and then they'll pull the other ones.
Gotcha.
Now, what some utilities are now saying, if you want to play 1,000 megawatts, you got to spend $5, $6 million in the application process.
So that makes sense, because if you give all these fake deals that are causing all that phantom generation, how do you even plan for it? Then you've got all these – oh, my goodness.
You can't plan for it. In Texas is now the epicenter of growth. Let me give you two statistics. One, in August of 2023, they reached their peak demand, 85,500 megawatts. Two, right now they're looking at 200,000 megawatts of large load applications, of which about 75 to 80% of that are data centers.
Wow.
Those two facts are not compatible with each other.
Right. So then there's a problem in the application. Yeah, there's a problem in the application process. You have to make it painful so that people don't submit these fake applications hoping for one to pop faster. What you just laid out there is just lunacy. So we bureaucratically created a problem because you know that it could take 17 years for something to happen in this state versus 7 years in this state versus 4 years in that state. So you're creating all this phantom generation. We're doing it to ourselves again. It's the regulatory process that's causing this type of ridiculousness.
Right. Although, to be fair, it wasn't November of 2023 when ChatGPT 3.0 came out and everyone said, whoa,
right.
You know, there's something real here. And then the numbers just exploded in the last, you know, in the last 6 to 8 months, the numbers have just been crazy. So to be fair, there's a process that has to be developed for something. It's almost like aliens landed on the planet and suddenly we have to figure out our defense infrastructure against them. Like, it happened so fast that we don't have the planners, we don't have the computer models, we don't have the infrastructure even to deal with all these interconnection requests.
And look at the water issue too, Peter. I mean, the amount of water that is consumed. You would think these data centers wouldn't continue to use the same water. I mean, the new water. They should be using the same water, recirculate, deal with ways of not gulping down so much water to keep it cool.
Yeah, a lot of it's still evaporative. Once you get to racks, though, so your typical data center a couple of years ago would have 6 to 12 kilowatts in a rack.
Mm-hmm.
Now you often see racks at 100 kW, and they're planning for megawatt-scale racks. Now what that means with these GPUs, with the graphics processing units, whether it's NVIDIA, AMD, or the Tensor chips from Google, they all generate a ton of heat.
Yeah.
So once you get to around 100 kW per rack, they have to be liquid-cooled.
Yeah.
So you put them in a dielectric fluid, and that pulls the heat away faster. But it still doesn't solve the problem of how do you dissipate the heat out of that liquid. That eventually has to, you know, take place outside the facility and usually involves water in some way, shape, or form, as I understand it. So, you know, the water issue is one we have to figure out. But there are engineering ways of taking waste heat and turning it into cooling, surprisingly.
Oh, I believe that. I mean, I don't know the physics behind it, but that does make sense. You were telling us of other energy storage that blew my mind last time you were on here. Before we go to another break, Elon Musk, I don't know if you saw this, talked about how Tesla cars could be part of the actual data center itself. They could actually be the compute because they have so much processing power, I guess, within the cars themselves. So imagine distributing all this away from a massive building and actually asking the cars to be smart enough to become their own mobile data center, but it's completely distributed. Well, have you heard any of that?
Well, SETI's been doing that. The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence has been doing that concept for years.
They really have.
So,
yep.
So in theory, you could do that. The question is, what would you use it for? And you wouldn't use those cars for large language models because those have to be closer together, but you could potentially use it for inference, for what you do with the models once you actually have that working brain, and now you're just processing information in real time and coming up with new ideas as a consequence. So in theory, something like that could eventually be built out in the future, just not right now.
So, Peter, we're going to take another break. Can you let us know what you're working on energy-wise after we come back from the break?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a quick break with Peter Kelly Detweiler talking energy. We want you to be geeks, but we want you to also understand how electricity works because clearly the state doesn't know, and Peter's going to help us. We'll be right back. That is not Kenny G. That's a computer. Let's go to back to Peter Kelly Detweiler on the line. And so, Peter, you're always talking about energy on your LinkedIn site. You have these great videos. What energy topic or thing are you working on that our listeners might be interested in?
Yeah, so I'm actually working on a book proposal right now about the failure of the Texas grid in 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually, the working title is The Darkest of Skies, mm-hmm. and it'll be, so, you know, what happened in that was it got really cold. They had huge demand for electricity to warm houses, et cetera, and gas coming into the generators froze into the pipelines, even as the wind turbines froze up and there was snow on the solar panels.
Oh, no.
Wow.
But the biggest
Whoa.
Issue was the gas failing. Oh, and also there was a water-based valve in a nuclear plant that froze, so they had to turn the nuke down because they couldn't see it.
Are you kidding me?
What?
So basically, yeah, and our grid runs at 60 hertz. That's like a heartbeat.
Yep.
If you drop down below 59.4 hertz, which is oscillations of power back and forth per second in our AC grid, stuff breaks. So they were about 4.5 minutes away from grid failure. So what did they do? They basically shed load, turned demand, you know, cut people's power supplies, and you typically rotate that power from one location to the next to the next.
Yeah.
But as more and more power plants tripped offline, they couldn't do that. They just had to leave places without power for 3 days. So over 200 people died.
Yeah.
And think about, like, you know, and then, of course, the economic damage, all these pipes froze in people's homes, so there was billions and billions of dollars worth of, you know, drywall destroyed, electronics ruined, houses ruined, right?
Yeah.
So tons of people killed. But here's the part most people don't know. When you have – and so the grid operator said another 4.5 minutes and we would have seen the failure. Now, once you get into a dark sky event where everything's down, the way you jumpstart the grid again is you have these little diesel units that sit next to the larger generators, and you turn them on, and you jumpstart the big units, and they're synchronized to find the other so-called black start units, and then you suture the grid back together. We haven't had to do it for years, since like the 2003 first energy outage that took out the whole East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But after the event, they went and audited the black start units, Eric.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of them didn't work.
Surprise, surprise, disaster recovery, not tested.
Okay, so now what does that mean? Now take the ninth largest economy in the world, also one of the most heavily armed populations in the country, and strip it of all community. Now, right?
Yeah.
Take electricity and no electricity for, say, a month.
Oh, that would freak people out. That would freak people
now,
out.
Oh, and no communication,
mm-hmm.
right? Because cell phones go down. So now everybody's in the dark for a month.
With their guns.
And, yep, and you've got no gas for fertilizer for the spring coming into the Midwest because no gas flows out of Texas and goes to the places where they make the fertilizer. No LNG gets shipped offshore. So you would have taken and essentially ripped the ninth largest economy in the world out of the equation for a month.
Yikes.
So think what that would have done for the global economy.
Oh, massive issues. Massive disruption.
So that's what I'm writing the book about.
Nice. Well, it sounds like it's going to be freaky and scary based on a real-world environment. But to have all those diesel generators not work, I mean, come on, man. And the other thing about the frozen valve into a nuclear power plant, how do you not make sure that that's below grade? I mean, I don't understand the basics.
Yeah.
We didn't think it was going to get cold?
Yeah. Right. They didn't think it was going to get that cold, and they didn't weatherize the gas plants. And, in fact, they'd had a similar event in 2013 where the feds came in afterwards and said, you need to do this, this, and this, and this, including weatherizing a lot of the gas infrastructure, and they didn't have it. And here's one last thing that will make your head spin.
Yeah.
When they started shutting off the power because they needed to maintain the frequency.
Yeah.
One thing they had never coordinated was between the gas sector and the electric sector where the compressor stations were. So they started shutting down electricity to where the compressor stations were, so then less gas flowed into the system because they shut the power off to it.
So this – I mean, obviously we learn a lot from failure, right? That's how most people learn from failure.
The ones who are still alive, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, Katrina, right? The levees.
Yeah.
They should have been reinforced for decades. They weren't. This is the thing government's supposed to be doing. This is where all 17 years of regulation to not get something done is supposed to be helping you keep it and maintained. So in your book, are you going to talk about the – obviously there's regulatory failure here and the obviousness of this going on. But to have 17 years to put something in, to then not have the proper regulation in place to actually maintain – the diesel generators, duh, if you had an issue. I mean, disaster recovery planning, all this kind of stuff, that's what we as citizens are assuming government's doing primarily. right? We're assuming they're working to maintain the system and maintain its quality, but clearly it's not the case. In almost every case you talk about these failures, government's not working on that stuff. They can barely know where their elbow on their butts are.
That's true to some degree, but then, of course, when you do set up the regulatory regimes, right?
Yeah.
Most people only work to the minimum level of whatever that is.
Yeah.
And they start to perform to the test instead of trying to perform to what's required.
Right. Well, again,
really required.
I was a part of the water department in Southington. We flush the hydrants on a regular basis because if you don't, you're going to build up sediment. Yeah. Turn on the diesel generator for every now and again is a basic maintenance requirement for any kind of generation. To have 2/3 of them, you said, not come on?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay, now one other happy fact for you is I wrote a paper for General Wesley Clark and a team on all the different ways you could take down the grid and then what would happen.
Oh boy.
And when I started to do the research into the plans that Washington has and other states for what happens if you do have a dark sky event, guess what? There's nobody in charge.
Oh brother.
We haven't figured out the jurisdictional issues of, like, is it National Guard? Like, who does what?
Gotcha.
We don't have really good planning for that. And partly it's because of this failure imagination thing. It was the same thing they pointed out after 9/11. It's the same thing they pointed out after the space shuttle explosion. There's a failure to imagine a worst-case scenario, and then we get complacent over time that, you know, yesterday is going to be like today is going to be like tomorrow. And when things break, it's not. And that requires a certain level of paranoia and vigilance that humans aren't really good at maintaining day to day to day.
Right. Like Salt Typhoon, where the Chinese are actually getting involved in our infrastructure. They are. They do think that way. They do think 100 years, 500 years. The Israelis and what they did with the beepers, they are thinking that way. So we can think ahead and have that imagination, because Salt Typhoon has happened. We just don't know to what extent. And if they read your paper, Peter, which I hope they didn't, they went and read Peter's paper and put all their potential shutoffs within whatever you told them to do. So I'm just kidding. But, I mean, it's out there, right?
Yeah.
So this stuff is happening. The FBI is warned about it. I don't want to be some doomsdayer either. But the failure of imagination really is how we end up with these big, big problems. And to failure to imagine to not even turn on the generator is not even that. It's just – incompetence.
Right. But of course, then when you integrate AI into everything so that you even have music for your own show, right?
Yeah.
We increase the level of our vulnerability every time we hook up another thing to an algorithm.
You're right. But we're hoping, Peter, that when we ask AI what the answer to the question of why the universe exists, was it 39 is the answer or something like that?
42.
Yeah. That was close. We'll be able to ask AI how to prevent these things in the future. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, except there's somebody else asking AI how to attack it.
I know. You're right, Peter. Well, we've very much enjoyed our discussion and hope to talk to you again. We'll put links up here for all of Peter's resources, his LinkedIn, his website. He's a great resource for energy. If you want to understand energy better, Peter Kelly Detweiler is the guy to go check out. And thank you very much, Peter, for being on the program.
My pleasure. I'm sorry I didn't make it last week.
That's okay, sir. All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we want to thank you all for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed the program. We want to thank you guys for calling in, because without you guys, we're talking about our kids and our cats. I want to thank Matt for producing. We got the big guns in here this morning. We thank him so much. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything, as he always does.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We'll see you next Saturday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.